This episode is sponsored by the new documentary, Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagatha Story, streaming exclusively on Disney+. There have been many variations of the Wagatha saga, and now it's time to uncover her truth. In this three-part original series, Colleen will tell her story in her own words for the first time. Tune in to learn how Colleen figured out who was leaking her stories to the press, get an exclusive look at the trial, and discover unseen and unheard moments. If you'd like to dive even deeper, listen to our podcast, British Scandal, for an exclusive episode about the Wagatha saga on the 27th of October. Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagatha Story, an original series streaming October the 18th, exclusively on Disney+.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about. On ye old bruvs, I'm Ronnie, and as usual, I'm with little Ben over there. Hello, Bendelino.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how's Tricks?
Tricks is great. Things are all wonderful over here, just enjoying another hilarious episode of Salt Lake City. What's going on with you?
Good, same old. Thanks for being here, everybody. Today, we're doing Salt Lake City, another great episode for them. Tomorrow is Real Housewives of Orange County. After that is Southern Charm. It's never ending. The fun is never ending, okay? Thank you for being with us. If you want this on video, we're on video every day unless we fuck up, which has been a couple of times. But you can get those on Crappens On Demand on our Patreon page. That's also where you get our bonus episodes. Last week was Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Trailer Trash, where we trashed the trailer. And this week will be Real Housewives of Potomac, same deal. Those also come as video. So Crappens On Demand, you know what? That you win every single time. Next Monday is Crappy Hour Live. That's our Instagram live show at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Instagram. Check it out this Monday. Super fun. You talk to us. We talk to you. This week, we're going to have our first guest on Crappy Hour Live. It's a big deal. So yeah. Check it out. Okay, everybody, let's get into this Salt Lake City episode, shall we?
Let's do it. So it was a big cliffhanger, which is that Whitney and Monica have just told Angie that there's a rumor going around that Sean is sleeping with men on the side, and there's an arrangement. And not only that, that Meredith has been going around spreading that rumor, even though actually Meredith has merely just sort of made like a kind of an empty thread of like, you want to talk about rumors? You want to go there with husband? I can go there with husband.
You want me to talk about the rumors? You want me to talk about the
rumors?
Now, this is kind of typical, right? Because this is Meredith's MO to hint at something but not bring it up. Mm-hmm. And specifically to Whitney, because...
Yes. Whitney will fall for
it. She got Whitney to do this last year, which Whitney completely bungles again 2 years in a row and makes it about something it's not even. Nobody said this, Whitney, just like nobody said last year the term just for jazz. Okay. That was you. It was all you, man.
And so, because, well, we'll get into it. But, basically, yes, it's classic Whitney setting herself up for failure once again.
Yes, or everybody else up for failure, because to Whitney, it's never a failure. She remembers it as truth, and she fights to the end. I mean, she's still acting like last year it was true. Last year, even when she brings up last year, she's like, yeah, remember when somebody accused Lisa of just for jazz? It was you! It was you! So last week at the end, when they tell Angie, oh my God, every queen in town is saying that they fucked your husband, Angie's like, I'm gonna talk to Meredith. And she gets up and they play that horror music, that dong, 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 dong. I love that music. It's in so many good horror movies.
So Angie stalks through the party and goes up to Meredith and goes, hey, Meredith, you have a second? You have a second, Mayor, you got a second? And she's like, come over here where it's quiet. Okay, well, I'll just get right to the point. It sounds like you're out spreading rumors about my marriage and my husband, and I obviously don't need to go into detail because you know what it is. And Meredith's like,
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, there are rumors about your husband, but I haven't said what they're. I'm not spreading any rumors. I'm just spreading that there are rumors.
But you are out spreading them, and you have said it to multiple women in the group. And I have been told by the girls that you are seeing things about my husband and other men. And Meredith, you know what, Meredith, you know what? You know what? You know
well,
what?
I'm not talking about your husband, and so far I've not talked to Whitney, so I don't even know what you're saying about what you and Whitney are up to, but I'm not saying anything. All I have said is
And Whitney's like, you did. You said that, because I guess, because Whitney and Monica have like now sat down next to them, and they're like flanking them, and she's like, you did. You did say that. I was like, what are you talking about?
She's like, well, what are you talking, what are you even going on about? She's like, what rumors, Whitney. He's like, you've heard rumors about her husband. She goes, okay, well, I've heard rumors, but that's all I said. And Angie's like, you have gone after every marriage in the group when meanwhile you're the only one that's outspreading their legs outside of their marriage. I've been with my husband for over 30 years.
So then Meredith gets up. We're done. Okay, run away, Meredith.
So this is the part where Meredith tries to do a walk-off. And I don't know if they have it in her contract or if they've put some kind of geolocator on her that shocks her ankles every time she tries to leave. But she keeps walking off, but then like bouncing off of something and coming back into the room. Like she doesn't even make it out of the room and then come back in. It's like she hits some invisible wall where she's like, I'm
limp. All right, well, I guess I'm going to just sit on this couch over here.
Well, there was a creep station that I accidentally ran into. And so then Meredith also does her signature thing, is that she puts her arm across her chest and points with her index finger. She does it kind of across it. She doesn't point like this straight at you. She always goes like, all right, I'm pointing to the left. I'm pointing to my left right now. And I'm going to say, weird, I don't talk to people who don't speak with me. With respect, okay? And now how do I get out of this maze of ottomans and sofas? I'm very confused.
She definitely has that, like, oh, I'm seeing a neighbor in the mailbox and I don't want to talk to. So you're always like, I did check my mail. You're right. It is nice weather, okay? And you just keep turned away so they
get
the visual point that you're leaving right now. But then every time she tries, like Stephen King's The Dome is there. She's just like,
God, all right. Well, I can't even make it through a dome and I'm in a cape.
I forgot about that, the dome. So Meredith is like, so Angie's like, don't point your finger at me. Well, go shove some whipped cream in your mouth. And Angie's like, was that respectful, Meredith? Was that respectful, Meredith?
I have never spoken with you with disrespect, okay?
So she keeps trying to run away. And Angie, of course, keeps following. I mean, Angie's going to get her no matter what, you know? That's just how Angie is.
Yeah, so Meredith is, like, furious, you know what? So she's, like, she's in a tizzy. And so she goes and she sits down with Lisa and Mary on a sofa. And Lisa's like, hi, you guys, I'm so glad we got together. I'm so glad. I feel like this is, like, a perfect party where, like, you know, we've all had, like, great crepes and great conversations. Don't you agree, Meredith? You look like you're in a great mood, Meredith.
Don't you turn your back on me. I'm not done talking to you, Meredith. If you're going to spread rumors about my marriage, then you're going to look me in my eyes while you open your legs in your relationship and your marriage. I am not leaving, Meredith. I'm
like, oh my God, this lady. So Heather goes to Whitney to ask what's going on. And Angie's going on about, you know, did you like it when she spread rumors about you fucking giving blowjobs for jazz tickets? And we see the flashback to the lingerie party 1 year later.
Yeah, and Jizz for Jazz comes out, etc. So Angie's like, Meredith, make eye contact, okay? Evil eye, I've got it on my necklace. Stop deflecting from your fucking fucked up marriage. Then now Meredith stands up from the sofa.
Do not touch me. Do not talk to me. Do not.
I don't speak to people who say these things. I have a toddler. So Angie's like, no,
right,
I don't.
I'm back.
Don't talk about my marriage. Don't talk to my marriage with Sean.
Do not touch me. Do not.
God, I really can't. There's a glass wall on every single side I try to walk through.
I feel like I'm in a hall of mirrors. So, Meredith's like, I don't speak to people who treat me with disrespect. So Angie's like, the one who spreads her lugs outside her marriage is you. Okay. Angie, you have to work on your one-liners there a little bit.
She does, and she also needs to work on being the victim, because she out-villains everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be the victim, but then also be like, you whore. You have to be like, how could you? How could you do this to my child? I mean, her husband is actually a better housewife than her, you know, which is, you know, it doesn't take much because Angie's really bad at this. But
I feel like Angie learned everything.
Way better.
Angie learned everything from Jen. She's sort of like on level 10 at all times. And like she's too like vicious, but not funny enough when she's playing the villain role. So therefore, like, I think the audience really dislikes her. And it's like, Angie, you gotta pull it back, and you've gotta cry more. And then maybe people, you're like just too new to be coming in this hot, you know?
Yeah. So let's see. I'm cleaning my straw, so I'm not paying attention anymore.
Well, while you clean your straw,
that's where I'm at now, guys. I have a bit very big plastic straw, and it has some
debris.
Because you know I put so much stuff on my lips during the show, and now it's like just covered. And ugh. I was like, oh my god, is Kelly Dodd trying to make fun of someone from Inside the Quiet Woman? So it looks like.
Stop spreading your straw's legs outside of its marriage. So Meredith's like, not me. Talk to yours. Deal with your marriage. Leave mine alone. Like, learn how to speak with respect to other people. And then just like, respect. You're spreading lies, though.
So they just keep going on and on. Meredith keeps bouncing off glass walls and being shoved back in. She walks off 10 times. So then Monica is telling Heather what's going on. She's like, she said that Angie's husband fucks other guys. And which was not true. She never said that.
She never
and
said
Angie's
that.
Like, yeah, you have said it to multiple people in the group. Hoppa! She spreads lies about people's marriages, and then she walks away. I don't walk away. I'm Greek. And then she's saying, my husband is unhappy in his marriage. And Heather's like, okay. I think I got the gist here.
So then Lisa's like, what is it? Monica, hi, Monica. What just happened? Did someone make another accusation about flying on a PJ with Snoop Dogg? That's so rude. And Angie's like, she's done it to everyone's marriage. And then Lisa's like, she tells us, when Meredith told me the rumors about Sean and Angie. And then we see like 2 weeks earlier, Meredith is just like wasted. We see the scene of like, you want to talk about husband, you want to go there with husband?
The wobbles of the husband and the nastiness about her, you wobble.
And Lisa's like, you know what? I was just hoping that was just a drunken comment. Like, not something that you're intending on acting on spreading. I just cannot believe she said the same thing again. Go on, Meredith.
But it's just hilarious how easily they conflate things on the show, because there are obviously rumors that have swirled around Sean, probably unfounded, and Angie even said so for 30 years. So Meredith's probably heard them and is like, look, you want to talk about shit, like, you know, there are these rumors about your husband. I could bring that up. But Meredith is not going around necessarily, as far as we can see, going like, wow, let me tell you about a rumor. This man is sleeping with men. Like, so it's like there's two different concepts there that seem very close, but they're totally different. And they are totally accusing Meredith of doing the way more nefarious thing.
Well, not only that, but they don't listen to anything, because they're even forgetting what happened last season. And it's about Lisa, which cracks me up, because she's like, yeah, you know what? Like, last season when Meredith was out there spreading rumors about me, and she didn't, though. She didn't say you were doing just for jazz. Whitney did. Why are you still saying that Meredith is the one that spread that rumor? Meredith did not spread the rumor. She said you were out there doing favors for something, to whatever, but she specifically, they cannot catch her on any specific thing, and they just believe whatever they were yelling at last on the reunion. It's kind of funny.
The only thing that Whitney has learned is that this time she got Monica to actually verbalize the rumor instead of Whitney saying it. So,
which, you know, it, that does show growth.
Yeah, that like Whitney actually passed the hot potato wand this time.
Yeah. So there, Meredith's like, this lady's full of shit. And he's like, what happened? I want to hear from you. And Meredith is like, I am done with all of this. Bounces off a wall and is thrown back into the game again. I love that they're just not letting her leave. So Monica's like, okay, I'll tell you what happened. Whitney was like, let's tell Angie. And I'm like, okay, let's tell Angie.
Yeah, but what did you guys tell Angie? What was there to tell?
That Sean fucks men.
And Lisa says, no, he does not. No, he does not. And you can tell that Lisa has obviously heard this rumor before, right? Because
right.
Her response isn't like, what? It's, uh-uh, no, absolutely not true.
He does not.
Never heard it.
He does not. Mm-hmm. He absolutely mm-hmm. does not.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and like mm-mm. also that like he has like boyfriend's girl like running around the city like bragging about like their sex girl.
And then Mary's sitting right there. And you think Mary's going to be like, either like, well, that's craven. Or like, wow, I can't believe the gossip. But Mary just goes, I can't believe I wasted another outfit on this event. Like, where's the food? Like, what are we eating?
Which is probably,
I've never heard that in my life. I've never heard that.
And Monica's like, everyone wants to pretend that they haven't heard it.
And Lisa's going, on my cuts. Okay. I've never heard that in my life. My son is going to another. I hope Monaco. I hope it's Monaco.
Yeah.
I hope that's where he's going.
I want to go to Monaco. Hi, Monaco. So Monica Del Monica is like, she's like,
but all these women have like heard this and like have talked about this or like spread it. Like, this is like some fake shit. This is like some Utah shit, girl.
And so Whitney's like, hey, Heather, have rumors you've heard? Sorry. Have you heard about the room? No. Read the rumor. No.
I've heard of the rumors, Whitney. Yes, I've heard the rumors, Whitney. Okay. She's,
I haven't heard them.
And she's like, you haven't heard that in Salt Lake, people always, listen, in Salt Lake, people always say that about male hairdressers. And she tells us, this is Utah. Okay. I've been to a family reunion where if a guy wears a cardigan, they say he's gay.
Yeah. As soon as she married a guy with taper pants and custom made suits, the rumors just started flying. So Mary, she's like, look, it's just a homophobic society. That's all. So Mary's like, Lisa, is there just like no food? And Lisa's like, no, there's lots of food. Haven't you noticed how we've all been filming with enormous crepes in our hands this entire scene? No? Okay, hold on. Let me find some. Hey, Emily, can we get some food for Mary? Thanks. Hi, Emily.
So she goes up to the pizza oven and Mary's, because they're making flatbreads. And so Mary's like, can I have that to go? And the guy's like, yeah, we don't have boxes. Sorry. She goes, yeah, I need a box. Like, how long is it going to take this guy? Like, why is this guy just putting it in a box? And he's like, we don't have a pizza box. And she goes, oh, really? So you couldn't do that yourself? So like for customer service? He's like, I didn't want to touch it with my hands. Oh, you're lazy. That's what it is.
No, you're just lazy.
You're lazy. She's such an asshole. And I watched her on Watch What Happens Live yesterday. And I'm really loving like just the random rude comments about people. But that's really all I need. She's a mess. She can't even keep one thought straight. It was so hard to get through that episode. And it was with Z-Way, who's great usually. But man, stuck next to Mary, it's like you're trapped.
I actually generally felt bad for Mary, actually, when she was trying to tell her story about the Dom Perignon, like 2003, and she's telling it and she's like nervous and she can't get her story straight and they're trying to help her, but they're also kind of making fun of her at the same time. And it was just like a weird energy. And like, I was like, I'm not sure that this woman should not be in these positions. Like, she's just, you know, she's on the show. She's funny. She says these things that are like brutally honest and rude, and it's like funny. But like in a Watch What Happens Live thing, I'm like, it wasn't like awkward funny for me. It was just like,
everyone acts like afraid or something. It's weird. Like, yeah. Z-Way, I get, is kind of trying to be... Mary started coming for her right away. Like, everything she did, she was like, no, I don't want your filet-o-fish sandwich. No, I don't like this. No, no, no. And I think because Mary is getting so much positive reaction from the season of being hilarious, just being an asshole, that she's like, I'll just be an asshole. But it just was coming off so awkward because she didn't think it was cool. Z-Way didn't think it was cool. And Andy didn't like it either. But they just kept poking her. And the audience was just so awkward about every little thing. Mm-hmm. And then Andy doesn't just have the guts to be like, hey, you've been accused of running a cult. How's that going? You know, like you weren't brought back on the show because you didn't come to the reunion and probably screwed a bunch of really old people out of their money or whatever. So he couldn't ask that. So he's like, well, I mean, he could have, but he wouldn't. You know, he's like, well, so, Mary, does it make you more comfortable being in your church now that the women aren't there to talk about your church or whatever? He's trying to phrase it in a way, and she's like, comfortable in my church? What are you trying to say? Well, you know, now that the ladies aren't talking about your church, just say it. I mean, if you're not going to have her on, if you're going to have her on, then just fucking say it. Like, since when is everybody on the stage such a wuss?
Yeah.
Weird.
It was funny, though, when he was, like, trying to help her out with her story. And she's like, it's my story. It's my story. Thank you.
But and she couldn't get it out.
She couldn't get it out.
Because in the year, what was it, 2003?
2003, there was a fire.
In the city, in Champaign. Well, you know, the city of Champaign. And then people died. Like, there were a lot of people. Yeah. But then in the city, in Champaign, then it was like they had a good year. It was like the best. The grapes. It was the best. It was good. The grapes was the best of the year of the grapes.
And just like, so basically, even though there was this terrible thing that happened, the fruits of it was this wonderful wine. It's my story. She's like, it's it's my story. And I'm like, you don't have to say it for me.
Also, when she goes, Andy said something like, yeah, so you're saying from tragedy. It's just, what? Who said tragedy?
Yeah, and then she was like, well,
she's like, what? Who said tragedy? She goes, you did. We're listening to you. You're
like,
the one
people
who
died.
Us.
People died. She goes, oh yeah, people died. It was like, it was very cringy and awkward. But yeah. So Mary Cosby, one of a kind. But yeah, so here she is berating the flatbread caterer for not having a pizza box and then also not putting it, like making her pack her own pizza.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Watch What Crappens and Winter is Crappening are the funniest recap podcasts. But if you want something more eerie, try the new podcast, Ghost Story, about my investigation into a murder-suicide in my own family. Ghosts aren't real. At least, that's what I've always believed. Sure, odd things happened in my childhood bedroom. But ultimately, I shrugged it all off. That is, until a couple of years ago, when I discovered that every subsequent occupant of that house is convinced they've experienced something inexplicable too, including the most recent inhabitant who says she was visited at night by the ghost of a faceless woman. It just so happens that the alleged ghost haunting my childhood room might just be my wife's great-grandmother, who was murdered in the house next door by two gunshots to the face. Ghost Story, a podcast about family secrets, overwhelming coincidence, and the things that come back to haunt us. Follow Ghost Story wherever you get your podcasts. Listen everywhere on October 23rd, or you can binge early and ad-free on Wondery Plus the same day.
So then we go back to Meredith, and she's talking. So this woman, Kathy, that she brought to the party, Kathy sort of is on the fringes of this whole scene, and Meredith is talking to her, and she goes, I'm sorry, but I have a good life. A beautiful toddler, two toddlers, in fact. I'm very happy. I have a great marriage. And she should worry about hers.
Kathy's like, uh-huh. Yeah, okay. It's like, Kathy, you're failing your audition, Kathy.
Come on, okay. Kathy. Come on. Kathy's like, because you know, Meredith was like, don't come in like Angie. She came in way too hot. Okay, you got to pull back. So now Kathy's like, yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, okay, Catherine, we're going to need a little bit more from you. A little bit more if you want to be on the show.
So then Meredith tries to leave and bounces back into the room. And Andy's like, I feel sorry for you that you're so miserable, Meredith. And she's like, oh, really? Well, I'm sorry for you, honey. And Monica's like, bye, Meredith. Talk to you soon.
And then Lisa, like Meredith goes up to Lisa and she's like, there's something wrong with her, Lisa. Like she has a weird thing with me. I don't even know what it is. And it's not my problem. And I'm not interested whatsoever.
You know what? Like the real victim in this is Andrea and me. Because it's my party.
And of course, Lisa has to make everything about herself, right? So she finally she leaves. This party's over. And Angie, you know, probably still up against the window like, I know you opened your legs for
for other men, you dirty bitch. My husband does not do anything to this, you say.
Angie is clinging on to the mirror of this Uber, like the window, and be like, here's another thing. You can try to drive away, but you can't drive your legs together because they're permanently open because you have sex a lot with other people.
So now we go to Angie's house the next day, and she's making that ridiculous bed.
That bed is...
No, there's nothing like fighting the rumors of intimacy issues, like having a bed as wide as a swimming pool where you don't even have to come near each other.
It's like she took two California kings and put them next to each other. Now, I remember Carlton, one of Carlton's things back on Beverly Hills was that she had a California king. And it was like a big thing for her. Like, we have a California king. And that was big. But I swear, this one's bigger. I mean, like, it is, when she is putting the sheets on that thing, it is like she is hanging a curtain at a theater. I've just never seen such a big bed before.
Yeah, it's huge. So Angie's like, you know, I was raised, that family is number one, and I am Greek, and we have family, and nobody from Greece ever cheats. It is, no one has ever cheated from Greece before. I cannot believe she would even say this. This could ruin my family.
So Angie and Sean, like Sean comes in, and he's like, hey, are you okay? And she's like, so many crazy things went on last night that I haven't been able to wrap my head around, and like there were some weird things that came up, like someone mentioned the idea of baklava but without honey. I was like, what? And I didn't want to say anything before bed because I was wiped out, and I also knew I just didn't have the energy to roll over five times to get to you. So anyway, here's our scene. Are you ready to begin it? Because I'm going to tell you some stuff.
Last night got really musakai. Meredith said that you fuck guys.
And he's like, whoa, what? What a fucking idiot. And she goes, yeah, I know that has been a thing for you that you've had to listen to for 30 years. You know, you are a hairdresser. So automatically, of course, you are gay.
Please stop crying. Are you crying? Oh, my God. Please don't cry. This isn't helping.
I thought it was funny that she's like, how dare you? No one says that.
I know we've heard this for 30 years.
I know. Well, that's why I think her response was so fake. Because when Monica, not fake, but when Monica says, here's the rumor girl, Angie does this thing where she like puts her hand on her chest. Like, this is what shocked people do.
Yeah.
She knows.
I'm clutching my pearls. Yeah.
So Sean is like, bottom line is gay, straight, or whatever, it's the adultery part that's bad. I mean, I don't have to explain this shit to you. Oh, sorry for saying the S word. And Angie's like, no, listen, Sean, don't cry. Please don't. It's crazy. It's nuts. It's a smear campaign. And to what end is this woman willing to go? Like, what do we do? What are we supposed to do now? She goes, don't, please, Sean. No. Don't let this bother you. Okay, because I stood up. Guess what? I stood up for my family, and I stood up for our family and our family unit. And I told Meredith that she spreads her legs are open permanently all the time. It was wonderful.
And he's crying, and she's like, Sean, she is a miserable bitch. Don't let her get to you. And he's like, you know, Elektra's going to hear about this. I just want to be Elektra's hero. I know she's going to hear about it. And of course, this is all super shitty. So, like, what are you going to do? Like, it's not going to stand up for whoever said it. But Monica's the one who said it.
Like, right. So then I like when Angie tells us this. She goes, you know, it is very dangerous to make accusations of infidelity in the Greek community because we are practicing Greek Orthodox and we got married in an Orthodox church 24 years ago and infidelity is against our religion. Like, oh.
Calling someone stupid sluts is great, though. You know?
But I'm also like, which religions are like down for the infidelity? You know what? Like, go for it.
I wish we were just regular Christians where infidelity is fun. Like, can we just put the fun back in infidelity? Yeah, but it's also that religious thing where it's like, oh, wow, I'm so religious now that I'm offended about something. How dare you come for me in my Orthodox? I'm Orthodox. Meanwhile, you're just calling someone like a stupid slut 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
After spending the past 2 weeks just being as evil as possible and saying the most rancid things you could think of to say. Don't bring your religion into it now. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's convenient religion.
Right.
Yeah. But by the way, I still think trampling with eyes, top tier. That's still one of my favorite things she's ever said. Everything else, trash. So Sean was like, you know, if somebody comes from my family and my character,
They're not welcome here anymore. She's not welcome in our sterile, white, antiseptic home. I don't want to be her around here at all.
Yeah. So then we go to Monica waking up her kids. We got a Monica's at home scene. So that should be fun. As a single mom, my life consists of running my kids all day, every day. This one likes football. That one likes gymnastics. And that one likes art. You know what I would like? 5 hours of extra sleep and to get banged by as much dick as Sean for even 5 minutes of my life. That would be great.
And we see, like, once again, listen, you spend your money how you want to spend your money, but I still think it's very funny that they're in this tiny house. The kids are like sharing a room and they're on those beds, like old timey hospital beds with like the metal bars on the back. And there's this big murdered out Range Rover in the driveway. I'm like, huh?
But, do you think she just got that from the divorce?
Yeah, I'm guessing. I was thinking it could be that, or it could be just a rental. But I just think it's such a funny like juxtaposition of visuals. So yeah, so she's waking up.
Really, I lived in East Hollywood, so that's pretty much how that goes.
That is,
I mean,
actually
I would
true.
Come down in like a rickety elevator. My ceiling was leaking. It's like the dumpiest. My building was the dumpiest, and people would drive up to the building to live like right next door to me in their studio, and they'd be in a Range Rover.
Yeah, that's true. It is actually top of the line very Beamer. LA. Like, that is, you know what? You were so right. And I take it all back because, like, why am I acting like this is ridiculous? This is literally LA lifestyle, is that you put all your money into getting a Range Rover and then you sleep on an air mattress.
Right. You eat canned beans the rest of the time because you're so broke.
I take it back, Monica. You're doing great.
Doing great, honey.
So she packs her kids in the car and she is giving this monologue, you know, and she's talking about how her mom was such a flake and they always had to move around so much because her mom always wanted something bigger and better, and it was at Monica's expense. And so she's got a little resentment for her mother, and she just wants a little stability. And the only thing I can count on with my mom is that there's nothing to count on with my mom.
So then she's like, the kids are all in the car. She's packed them all in the car. There's like socks on the driveway. And she's like, whose socks are these? So she gets in and she's like driving them to school. And so there's four kids, and there's like a teenager, like maybe a tween. And then there's like a little kid and like a toddler, basically. And so Wesley, I think, is the third youngest. And so basically Monica's like, Wesley got into trouble for saying the B word, which we have to assume is bitch. So she's like,
you said the B word yesterday, Wesley.
And then Wesley's like, it was an accident.
An accident?
Yeah, I was supposed to say boner.
They're like, boner? It's like, where did you even hear that word? And she's like, boner isn't a bad word. And they're like, yes, it is.
And then Jaden, the little toddler, goes, boner. Okay, wow. The little toddler's like, boner's bad.
It's like, boner's a really bad word.
Kendall, I should say.
So and funny.
Honestly, the best part of it really was just seeing the teenage daughter in the front seat, just her head in her hands, being like, oh my god, I'm ready for college.
So now Lisa and Jock go get manicures and pedis, okay? So they go, and they're catching up. And she's like, okay, so what's going on for prom? And he's like, I just asked a very beautiful young lady last night to prom. She goes, oh my god, she says yes?
Yeah.
I'm pumped.
Are you sure she said yes? Were you able to see her reaction through your puffy bangs dangling in your eyeballs? Please, please, whatever happens on this mission, please let there be a barber.
Right. I know the biggest charity that can be done is someone cutting your hair. Okay. I'm just hoping that the people with the nail cutters miss aim and accidentally take off your bangs.
Like, if I were wherever this mission is taking place, I would say, you know what? I will join your church if I can just cut your bangs. And then, fine, I will give myself over to it. We cannot normalize puffy bangs on teenage boys. This has to stop.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to bring anyone to your side with that hair. Okay.
That's not going to work.
So she's like, you know what? A lot of people here in this town pay their kids to go on a mission, or they blackmail them, or they're like, you better go. You're going to embarrass the family. Like, there's social pressures in Utah. But
Jack has been raised non-orthodox, and like, I'm just like, I'm processing everything. Like, missing your son for 2 years, that's a lot for a mom.
Every single second with him, I just want to be like the best second with him. And like, the good thing is that he's like into men's grooming and dark hawk, so it's a bonus. Ah! So she's like, so like, Jack, my friend group is like, everyone was like a little shocked. And like, Heather, she asked me some questions like, does he know it's gonna be hard? And I'm like, yeah, cause I couldn't get where she was going with it, you know, but like, you know it's gonna be hard, right, Jock?
And then we see a flashback to Heather being like, so Whitney told me that Jack's going on a mission. I mean, would you choose for him to go on that or what? She's like,
we need to table this, Heather. We need to table this.
So then we go back to the pedicures. And she's like, yeah, that's none of his business. Like, at least he's not, you know, doing meth or having teenage pregnancies.
You know, it is possible to do all of the above. You can be on a mission and do meth and have a teenage pregnancy. So watch out.
No, that's a storyline. Jack just became way more interesting.
Yes. So Lisa's like, I feel like you've made an appropriate stop to be prepared for this. But like, what about the Book of Mormon? Have you read that yet? And he's like, yeah, I'm reading it right now. What do you think? It's like really action-packed. Really? That's so interesting.
He's like, yeah, they could make it into a movie and that would like do good.
I really like the part where it turns out that like there was a guy who broke the security system and then all the dinosaurs got loose. You're reading Jurassic Park, not the Book of Mormon. Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
So she's basically like, listen, I go to church, but I'm not like in the temple, because to go to the temple, you have to be like super special and like worthy. And I'm not, because I'm not going to like go through that.
I'm not wearing those underwear. There's no way.
It's basically her thing. But John is. So John's the only one who can go to temple. Huh?
My face. Sorry, my face is upset for the underwear situation.
This is my face. You can't tell me to wear garments. This is my face.
Yeah. So she's like, I respect. She's basically kind of like saying to Jack, like, are you cool with the fact that you're gonna come back super religious and I'm not as religious? Because this is my limit. This is where I'm at right now.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, I might not feel worthy because I don't drink too much Diet Coke. Someone else might not feel worthy because they drink too much alcohol. You don't feel worthy because you're not really fucking Mormon, lady. Okay. You have an alcohol company. I can't with this whole Lisa. Like, but
I'm modern.
I'm socially Mormon. It's not like drinking where you're a social drinker.
I'm culturally Mormon, but religiously Diet Coke. So she's like, it's like I'm not doing anything wrong, Jack. Like, but I could do more, right? And like, there has not been a night where I don't go to bed thinking like, was I a good enough mom today? Ah! Clearly I'm a great mom if you made this decision, right? Right. She's looking for validation from him.
He's like, this decision was all me, though. That's why I didn't tell you. You didn't tell her because you didn't want to go to college and you were afraid she was going to force you to go to college. And now you put her in a position where she's going to look like a total hypocrite religiously if she doesn't let you go on this mission. I don't know what you think you're going to be getting away with, sir, but nothing I've heard about mission sounds like a vacation. So good luck to you.
Yeah, and also that haircut is your choice, too. So let's not examine your decision making.
Let's not act like you're known for your good choices.
So now Lisa and Whitney go to Angie's house and they walk in and Lisa's like, hi. You know, I love coming to a Greek's house because I know I'm going to eat. And then like, the only food is like an ashtray sized charcuterie board with like a few pieces of Trader Joe, you know, prosciutto and like a strawberry and some random like
giant rolls, very large rolls, which you don't see very often on Real Housewives. I was actually shocked.
I kind of feel like, okay, well, let's be honest. When it comes to putting out a spread, no one has ever topped the Shaw's of Sunset. Like, MJ's like, oh God, Reza's coming over. I guess I got to throw something together. And she like comes out with like a boat of like cheeses and herbs and olives and crackers and meats and everything. Like that is the like, we're going to feed you thing. I thought when Lisa said, oh, I'm so excited. I'm coming over to Greek's place. I'm going to get fed. I thought there was going to be like grape leaves and, you know, like tzatziki and spreads. And I'm just like this tiny little plate. I was like, you're really not living up to my stereotypes. And that's hurting me.
Well, don't worry. Andrea will keep pounding it into the ground anyway until you remember she's Greek.
She's Greek?
So you're going to eat with me. It is so good to see you guys. It is nice just being here with all of us. I'm Greek.
We brought you something. And Whitney gives her a bag. She's like, yeah, we brought you all the necessary things, Whitney.
So they start talking about all the gas. And Angie's like, you know, I'm sorry I don't have Diet Coke. Lisa, on a normal day, I would have grabbed you some, but I'm like, you know, sleep deprived. I cannot believe someone called my hairdresser husband gay. I've never heard that before. Wait a minute. Hasn't that been for years? I mean, except for the 30 years that they've been saying that. But still.
I was so distraught. I couldn't even get a Diet Coke. So she's like, I'm still processing. It's been a 30-year processing. And I'm just like half asleep. And okay, let's sit down. So Lisa's like, I'm definitely worried about Andre. And like, I know what it feels like. I went through this. I mean, I wish someone had checked on me last year. Instead, I had to go to bed eating a burrito.
Stop describing my entire adulthood and acting like it's trauma.
That sounds like a privilege.
And B, this is not about you.
She is, but that's what makes Lisa a great housewife, is that she literally turns every situation into her.
This whole thing, everything they say is about her.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Yeah. So Andy's like, I'm so grateful that you guys are here. I just keep looking at you like it's relief. Because I talked to Sean this morning. I told him, guys, he cried.
Oh my gosh! He cried! Did it sound like this?
Because now there is a little person involved, and to see him like that, it just crushed me around our little person.
You know, Whitney was very confused by that.
It's like, wait a minute.
Who's here?
It's about time we had a little person on this show.
Representation. So, no, I'm talking about Electra, who is at horse riding right now. I'm still mad. I really feel like there's got to be a whole bunch of great content with Electra and her horse riding. I just feel like it's there. So Lisa is, so Angie's like, she's going to hear Electra, that is going to hear about this, and it's out there. And how is this going to affect my daughter? He's like, I've been working so hard to be her hero, her Zeus, if you will. I'm Greek. And like everything that I've worked for, and I would never want her to think I would do that to our family.
Yeah, you know, I think this whole thing was shitty. I was more upset last week than I am this week. I don't know why. I guess because I think he reacted to it really well. Well, I mean, maybe not. How should I say this? I think he reacted very well in doing the whole, like, it's not really about being gay. It's the whole affair thing. But I also think, like, if these rumors have been out for 30 years, it's not that huge. And no, the only person who said it on camera isn't the person you're accusing. And you just tell Electra, listen, people are ignorant morons.
Yep.
Your dad's a hairdresser, so everybody calls him gay. That's how stupid people are, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, you're welcome, Sean, because I think it's a great compliment.
Yeah, I mean, I guess because we're gay, that I'm like, I don't.
No, I mean, obviously, it's not a compliment to be told that you are A, cheating on your wife, and B, that you're just not something that you aren't, you know? So Lisa's like, Angie, if I were in your shoes, like, no one believes this bullshit. And like, you and Sean are like me and John. Like, we work together. We do everything together. We're family. So basically, this is like my storyline.
And Angie's like, yeah, we are inseparable. And when he says, yeah, well, we know where your husband sleeps. Where does your husband sleep?
In my bed, Whitney.
Yeah. With Electra, right? Don't you guys sleep with Electra too? She's like, yeah. And we all go to bed at the same time. And last night when we went to bed, she grabbed my hand and I fell asleep with her little hand in mine. And I thought, just so you know, this is what matters. And the biggest thing here is now, how am I going to navigate this in front of her?
That sounds shocking. What do you mean? You went to sleep with an electric hand? Didn't you get shocked? No, Electra. Electra, work on it, Whitney.
To be so meta-rable. I'm Greek.
So everyone's like just reassuring her. And then, of course, Whitney is like using this as a way to get at Meredith. She's like, my advice, do not feed into Meredith, even though that's literally exactly what I did this episode.
Yeah, but you know what? Lisa, what do you think?
Because, of course, Lisa's just waiting to be like, you know what? But this is like a weird position because I'm trying to be friends with Meredith. But, oh, my God, like, this is what she did to me last year. Just take out Lisa's name and insert Anja's.
So Lisa tells her, you didn't do anything wrong. And Whitney's like, yeah, you know what? Learn from our experience last year. I wish I had just been like, stop, move on. She's not worth it.
Well, you could have just done that this season too, by the way. You brought up something that was off camera and you actively brought it to the fore, you know? So
Lisa, of course, is going to try and turn rightly, but she doesn't know that she's right yet, right? So Lisa's like, wait a minute, though, but why is Monica saying it, though? Why Monica, huh? And Whitney's like,
honestly, I feel like Monica, she heard the rumor and then she was like, I want to be a good friend to Angie by saying it on camera in that moment.
Yeah, but you know what, though? She just, like, fucking makes stuff up. Like that Snoop Dogg plane ride. Wasn't that, like, the most offensive thing you ever heard? I guess I'm really the victim here. Wow. It's like, the Snoop Dogg thing is not at the same level as someone saying your husband is gay and steps out on you. She's like, God, anything more offensive than being accused of wanting to be on a private plane with Snoop Dogg? I can't even believe that lie.
But I think the most important thing to remember is that she told you because, like, she's being a great friend because, like, she had courage.
You know who did that? God did that. So, and she's like, well, I'm grateful you both sat me down and let me have a scene on this television show. So, Whitney is basically doing this whole thing about like, oh my God, Monica shouldn't be blamed because she's just Meredith's decoy. I'm like, Whitney, you, what part of this do you not realize how much you are doing exactly what you're saying you're not doing? So, Angie's like, it was a rough one and I couldn't have gotten through it without my very crazy sunglasses. I'm just so glad for eyewear.
Right, you know what? You know who understands how you feel? Me, because this was me last year. It was like crazy. It was so hard. Thank you so much for asking me how I felt last year. It was really, really rough for me. Burrito and bed rough. You know what I mean? And Angie's like, so I do have to ask, how do you feel about Heather after yesterday? She's like, well, just so you know, like I told her, I was like, you know what? You're the last one to know Jacques is going on a mission. And I'm like, this is a positive experience for Jacques. I don't need to argue this with Heather. Okay.
Well, you know what? I want you to know that after Palm Springs, I've seen a very different side of Heather. And she is a bitter person than I thought she was. Yes, you thought I was gonna say bitch. Surprise, she invited me to her house.
So then we see a clip of that, and I just love that this invite was like, you know what, we should get to know each other better. You want to come over and I'll apologize while we paint birdhouses?
Let's paint some birdhouses some fluorescent colors. Like, what birdhouses that, well, I was gonna say birdhouses don't need to be painted, but yeah, they can be painted. But I was like, this is not a hot take that's worthy. Like, I don't need to suddenly die on the hill of whether a birdhouse needs to be painted. But I'm like, why are they painting birdhouses?
Well, there is an uptick of the number of dead birds due to lead poisoning. You know, that paint is getting all over the bird seed.
Angie's gonna throw that in the trash. Her house is completely white. She does not like any color or personality. Okay, that birdhouse is gonna be chucked off a mountain into Provo.
So basically, Heather is saying, listen, you know, I know it's been rough for you and that trip was rough, but man, like, you've got huevos. Like, I respect you. Like, everybody came at you and you just really handled it. Like, you, good for you, you know. Sorry I didn't show up for you though. Yeah. And Angie's like, the fact that you are acknowledging to me, I mean, like, I understand, but what are you going to do? Like, so souvlaki you. You know what I mean?
You know, we both can run hot. We're like two Saganakis. So Angie's like, look, back to present, everyone. Look, I was actually honored. I was honored. I felt like I was Aphrodite being brought into the council of Hera's close chambers. And she invited me into her home because I've known her since we were 15. And I don't like tension. Although I do like screaming at people and saying that their legs are open outside their marriage. But I think Heather finally opened up to me, like Meredith's legs, in fact. And she said that in Palm Springs, she felt really bad. And she sat back. Lisa, why are you looking sad? Do you want to make this about you somehow?
This is insane. I can't believe she did that. Nobody ever did that to me when I was eating a burrito in bed. This is crazy. You know what? And you think they layered on you? You should see layers in my 5 bean dip. I was eating that also in bed. It was crazy. Nobody ever did nothing for me. I can't believe this. So wait a minute. You're saying that you were nice to Heather and Heather was nice to you? Well, thanks a lot. Why don't you guys just all spit in my fucking face right now? It's like, wow. She gets like so
she was so mad. And just like, yeah. And she said that I took a lot of shit and I have a lot of grit. You have a lot of grit? Oh my God. She never said that. She said my voice sounds like grit. And then she said I looked like shit. She was rhyming and insulting me all at once. I never got called grit. I never had the grit compliment. Ah.
She has never given that to me. Not ever. Not ever. Hold on. Open a window, please. Hold on. It's coming up.
You know what? I'm literally getting triggered by this because I'm like, where was this friendship last year? This is fucking bullshit. The amount of crap I've gone through and that she has seen me go through and I've had to put my hair on side of this thing. And I'm like, you know what? Last year, Heather, you never cared about me. You never cared about me. And you never did it. I guess I had. I'm like, her head's about to explode right now.
Where are my accolades for putting up with people who are talking about my family, my business, me? I mean, Angie, you had a bad weekend? Sorry, I had to endure it for 3 fucking years.
And just like, all I said is that I painted birdhouses with Heather.
She is going
Where's
off.
My birdhouse? I have a birdhouse on my window that has nowhere to live. It's terrible. It gets rained on every single day. Where's my birdhouse?
So she's like, oh, yeah, well, good for you. You know, you had one bad fucking weekend. I've been taking this over and over nonstop.
And she's like, somebody told Henry last week that they're like, oh, my God, there's like naked pictures of your mom online. And Henry lost his mind. And then he called me hysterically crying. And he's in the 5th grade. And because of all this other stupid stuff that people have said, he's like, maybe there is naked pictures of my mom online.
And he's like, I get it. People are saying Sean is gay. Remember the scene? And Whitney's like,
Lisa's reaction is very shocking to me. I had no idea she was harboring so many feelings from last year. But like Lisa, read the very white and emotionless room. The timing is not right. We came here to make Angie feel better.
Yeah, I had the shit kicked out of me emotionally. And I was just like, fuck it. You know, now I'm just like, whatever.
And Whitney's like,
well, wait, are you saying that it's hard for you to sit here and listen because she got an apology? I forgot what we were talking about.
You want a birdhouse?
She's like, yeah, you got an apology and I got a, oh, well, oh, I want to get to, and you also got an, oh, I want to get to know you. And I've never gotten that from Heather. I like myself too much. Like, I like who I am and I like myself too much to even deal with this. I'm good with you guys. That's all I fucking care about. But everyone else, they are like Diet Pepsis and this is the Diet Coke circle. Ah!
And Angie's like, yeah, but this is about my husband not really being gay.
Oh, shut up. I should be so lucky for people to call John Guy. Okay.
So then we go to Meredith. Meredith in the passenger seat of her car and Brooks driving, just dead faced. You know how Brooks just looks like?
Yeah.
You know how when people are in the hospital, like in a coma, and the nurses just keep coming in to put lip gloss on them so their lips don't dry out? That's Brooks driving.
He's just like, that, and he's wearing, happens?
He's wearing a ski mask. Yeah. You didn't know that?
Didn't know that. Yeah.
I know from very depressing personal reasons, but yeah, you like have to keep people slicked up because when you're not drinking or licking your lips, your eyes get really dry. Wow. Out. Your lips get really dried out. So speaking of, look, I picked up my lip stuff. But yeah. Yeah. So that's how Brooks drives. He's wearing the ski mask. Okay. It's covering his whole face and his mouth is just, he's just like mouth breathing with lip gloss. Like no movement on his face. He's just like,
They both look like they're in Sprockets, the old SNL sketch. And I was like, should you be driving with ski goggles on? I mean, I guess they're like sunglasses, but for some reason it felt unsafe. So Meredith is obviously...
Especially if you look in a mirror, because they're mirrored, right? So you're looking in a mirror, and then the mirror's looking at your ski goggles, and then there's like a million dead-faced Brooks staring at each other through the mirrors.
So then Meredith tells the story, which I had read about. I remember when it happened, I'd read about it, and it was a very scary story, at least I thought it was. And Meredith goes, well, it's been a rough few days. After my friend Kathy lit up the party with her personality, we left and we got into the car and we were driving it for about 15 minutes and it was a terrible, terrible snowstorm and our driver lost control of a car. And on one side of the road was a cliff and on the other was a snowbank and it appeared that we were going to go over the cliff and he somehow gained enough control to steer us into the snowbank. And then we see... cell phone. I'm like, oh god, this is a terrible, frightening story. And then we see footage, and the producers are so rude. The caption says, "Footage of Meredith's quote unquote accident."
And then they put in this music that's like da-dunk, 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 da-dunk.
And they're like,
in, like clown music. And Meredith is like, "It was terrifying. I thought I was dying. I thought my last interactions of significance would be bouncing against an invisible wall trying to escape a crepe party."
And I decided I really don't want to spend my time with the people. I really want to spend my time with the people I care the most, because we never know what's happening. And like, will I ever make a white bean salad again? Will I ever slice a lemon with the whole family? I don't know. I can't. Can we come back to this? I can't.
So she's trying to make small talk with Brooks, which I imagine cannot be easy, right? So she's like,
so, Brooksie, we're still alive. We should spend quality time together conversing. So are you dating anybody? Are there any other toddlers on the scene?
And Brooksie's like, nothing serious with anyone. I mean, I just got out of a serious relationship, so I feel like that's the last thing that I want.
Well, it was a great first relationship. Some people would frown upon saying a toddler has a relationship with his binky, but we know love is love.
Yeah, I completely agree, Mom.
Well, yeah, it was fun. Now you're moving on.
Yeah. So she says that, like, seeing him navigate his first relationship was incredible.
Almost as incredible as the person who navigated Kathy's car away from the cliff saved my life.
We almost went over a 3-inch cliff into a flat patch of snow. It was terrifying.
Because, by the way, the footage shows that the car is, like, in a snowbank in a totally flat area. So,
the way I died laughing during this scene, I was laughing fucking hard. This is one of the classic scenes of all time.
It was so good.
She's like, so Brooksie, do you know what you want?
No.
Do you know what you're looking for?
And he's like, no.
Not Jen Shaw's vagina.
Do you know what you don't want?
He's like, I don't know what I don't want.
Okay, well, it's wild seeing him feeling comfortable and open. Also concerning that he's driving me in ski goggles after I almost drove off a cliff, but that's a separate issue.
Well, for example, Brooksie, I like that Dad brings me coffee in bed every morning.
He's like, I do not need my boyfriend to do that.
Okay, well, if you have a date or someone special that you want to invite, I'm hoping you guys will come to the GLAAD Awards in Los Angeles. They've asked me to sit on the host committee, and they've asked me to join the board. And he's like,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Most supportive mom I know.
Thanks, honey.
By the way, my mom, when I came out, my parents had such a fit when I came out, especially my mom. She still, I think part of her still thinks I was lying. But she accused me straight up in the beginning of just lying to piss her off. And then after a few years of not talking to me, when we kind of worked it out, she went completely the other way And then she's like, guess what? I joined PFLAG. And I was like, oh, God. Which is Parents for Lesbian and Gay. I don't know. It would be a longer title now. But back then, it was just called PFLAG. And so I was like, oh, God. Mom, please don't do that. And she goes, and let me tell you, those parents in there, they're really crazy. I mean, you think I'm crazy? Those poor gays had to deal with severely crazy parents. I mean, I've never met people brought up by crazier people than that. I was like, Mom, you're not supposed to go to the PFLAG meetings and judge the other people in the PFLAG meeting. She's like, well, I'm sorry, but there's no other way to tell you. They're all fucking crazy. So I'm never going back there again. I was like, well, thanks for trying, Mom.
Oh, that is amazing. I love your mom's brutal honesty. So,
I don't know if it's honesty. It's her truth. You know, that's where that phrase, your truth, comes in. It's definitely her truth.
So Meredith and Brooks, not to be confused with the singer Meredith Brooks, are going snowshoeing.
Or Brooks Meredith. Isn't that a person?
Probably.
I'm going to look it up. Brooks.
I think Meredith Brooks sings, yeah, I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, child, I'm a dog.
That's what came up. Brooks Meredith didn't come off. Who's Brooks Meredith? Why is that in my head?
Brooks Meredith is a fictional novelist that would like, that
is that true?
Well, meaning in like, I feel like I would write a story about a novelist named Brooks Meredith. Yeah. A fictional novelist and a fictional novel. That doesn't exist except for this moment.
Well, Heather Brooks is from Grey's Anatomy. Okay, that's all. I'm closing this window now. You're all very welcome.
So they are going snowshoeing, and they get outside, and Brooks is like,
We have to say this part because it's my favorite part. He goes, are you excited to go snowshoeing? And she says, yes, however, this weather is a little intimidating, Brooksy. By the way, I like how you're just using your goggles as sunglasses when you drive. And he goes, thanks. I like that you're wearing a 40-inch ponytail while we snowshoe.
Thanks, Brooksy. Glad I'm spending this quality time with you. So they get out, and they're like putting on their snowshoes or whatever, and then Meredith is like trying to get into it, and Brooks is like, sorry, because she's like, ow, Brooksy, and she's like, sorry, it's like a stretch putting these on. Well, maybe you should stretch a little bit more often. Trust me, mother, I get stretched all the time.
Okay, that's enough. When you just drove the figurative car into a snowbank, Brooksy.
I'm going through a lot right now, and I don't need to hear that.
And then he just starts flapping and flailing in his snowshoes.
I know. Brooks spends all this energy being like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not impressed. And then the moment he gets put into like a whimsical snow situation, he's like, yes, quit! And just goes flopping around. Good for him.
This is automatically Brooks's best season. That shit was hilarious. I mean, that's one of those scenes that it's hard to even recap because that shit was so funny. I was literally laughing out loud. I watched the scene twice because I was laughing so hard. So good.
It's hilarious. So now we go to Monica driving her mom and Nana to the senior center, which is also hilarious. And so the mom is, you know, saying like, hey, why don't we go to McDonald's because Nana loves the fish sandwiches. And Nana goes,
Not today. Fish too loud. Quieter, fish. Fish be quieter.
Fish loud. Monica's like, I'm moving around as a kid. Like, I didn't really know my uncles or my cousins or anything, but Nana is like my mother. We're like soul sisters, and I know that my time with her is limited. Like a McFish sandwich, if you will.
Fish fillet, if you will.
Yeah, that's right. Fillet of fish.
Fillet of fish. I both got it wrong.
So she's like, I don't want to take her for granted. So they go through the drive-thru to get Nana her fish. And she's like, no, I don't want it. And they're like, come on, Grandma. No. Do you want fries? No. I want, order me this.
Quiet! Too loud. Nana, did you have to bring a knife to the drive-thru? Too loud!
So Linda's like, whatever, just get her a sandwich. She's hangry. So they get to the senior center, which is
crazy that tried to get her the filet of fish. Was it filet of fish that they were getting, or am I messing that up with Watch What Happens Live? That's crazy. There's a lot of filet of fish.
Did Mary order a filet? Did Mary order a filet of fish like 2 weeks ago?
She did when they were at the gay bar, and she didn't want to go in, so she took the she made the bus driver take her to McDonald's.
My mom used to love the filet of fish.
Z-Way gave her the filet of fish on Watch What Happens Live.
Wow, because the filet of fish it's seasonal, right? Isn't it during Lent that they put out the filet of fish?
I don't know. I remember it used to be seasonal, but I don't know.
A lot of big. It's kind of, honestly, this kind of makes me want to have a filet of fish.
Me too.
I don't know if I've ever had a filet of fish.
You know who does a really good fried fish sandwich? Whataburger.
I 100% believe that.
Yeah, it's so good. Okay. None of that matters. So now we get to the senior center.
100% matters.
And Nana's like in a terrible mood. And the mom is just like, give her the sandwich. She's angry.
But so Linda, by the way, Linda is one of those people who talks so condescendingly to older people. Yeah, this is our senior citizens. She's like, hi, everyone. What are you playing today? I'm like, they are like, can you like not talk to them like they're toddlers?
Well, that's how Monica talks to them, too. She's like, what are we playing for, everybody? Coca-Cola. You know what? I'm used to hearing that, though, because I feel like young people talk to me that way now, too. Like, if I'm in a Home Goods or something, they're like, sir, do you need me to get that for you? I'm like, really? No, I don't need you to fucking get that. Are you loving that plate, sir? Do you want me to get it off the top shelf for you?
I wonder, I would love to hear from some of the older members of our community, because we're just like in our 20s. But I would love to hear, like, is it actually really fun to watch younger people act like total fools trying to talk to you? Like, I think I might actually find some perverse joy in watching someone be like, Mr. Mandelker, how are you doing today? And I'd just be like, this fucking idiot. Get out of my face.
So they play the game for a little while, but then Monica and her mom go off to talk at a separate table. And Monica's like, so I think you just came here to find a man, right? Mom? And she's like, yeah, actually, the cutest one is leaving. He's a story of my life. He's out of here.
By the way, I didn't understand this game. Sorry to go back to this, but was it bingo? Like, it was like there was a lady who's like, coin of hearts. And then they'd all throw things into a hat. And then she's like, nine of diamonds.
It's where you hold, you have your hand. Oh, God, now I have to explain the card game. Do you hold your hand and then she calls out a card. And if you have that card, you put it in the pot. You can put one of them in the pot. And she goes through and the first one who's out of their cards wins.
Oh,
okay. I think. I mean, I assumed.
Yeah.
So that's how you play the game, Ben. Do you want to try?
I do want to try. That sounds fun.
Okay, so the mom, Linda, is like, shut up. Okay, oh my gosh, I had a date on Thursday, and I have to tell you about it. By the way, Monica's big storyline of like, Mom, I went to the Louis Vuitton store, and I bought a bag. Because she wanted to impress everybody is kind of hilarious, because her mom didn't really have a ton to say about that, but her mom came in this scene dressed in her Louis Vuitton scarf to be like very fancy for the house.
Oh, I didn't even notice. That's so funny. So yeah, she talks about Linda's like, so I had a date, and Mom's like, how old is he, girl? And he's like, he's 2 years younger than me, so he's close to my age. And like, so he hits me up on Thursday and he invites me to spend the weekend with him. And she's like, oh, did you have fun? No, he ghosted me because I told him, though, even though I'm not Mormon anymore, I'm still celibate because I don't believe in sex before marriage.
And she's like, okay, Bob. So she's like, yeah, my mom totally left the church, but I guess she feels better if, like, she's doing some part of it. Like, well, I didn't, you know, maybe I'm a sinner, but I didn't fuck that guy, which I think is kind of normal. It's like sin bargaining. You know, I do it because I was really raised very religious. I'm not religious at all now, but I'll still do it sometimes. I'm like, am I going to hell for that? Well, I did try not to run that person over while they were in the crosswalk today, and I didn't call anybody an F-bomb in traffic. So the promiscuity will be forgiven tomorrow.
So then Linda's like, so you're going to raise your kids in the church, right? And Monica's like, no, like, don't you remember that, like, you apologized to me for raising me in the church? You know, like, don't you remember any of that? And Linda's like, no, I don't remember that at all. She's like, yeah, well, it definitely happened. I remember specifically you saying that. That was like a formative memory in my life.
Yeah. So she's like, I would never say that. How dare you say that on the television? What are you trying to get me to go to hell on national TV? Trying to fix my reputation here, you little bitch.
I know. And she's like, I think the kids just need Jesus in their lives. She's like, well, you know, I had Jesus in my life and I had a teen pregnancy. And she's like, stop it, Monica. Monica's like not having any of Linda's preachiness right now.
And Linda's not loving that Monica's just outing every single thing on TV either, you know?
This was amazing. I loved it. And so basically, and then Monica's like, and by the way, you know, the other day you called me and you thought I had hung up, but there was just like a break in the connection and you were like, I fucking hate you, you fucking bitch. I fucking hate my daughter. Why would you say that?
Like, whoops. I thought I was hung up. Whoops.
And she's like, no, mom, you said like, you fucking piece of shit, I fucking hate your guts, you fucking bitch, I fucking can't stand you. And then all of a sudden Nana is like, has like risen from her table. She's like,
Nikki, not in this place. Not in this place, Nikki. You talk nice in this place, Nikki.
We don't curse like this in this
place.
Don't
talk dirty. Don't talk dirty.
So Monica's like, that was your daughter, Nana, okay? She goes, I don't care. No dirty here. So Linda's trying to apologize or whatever. And she's like,
you never apologized to me for it.
So anyway, I was dying because Linda's kind of my hero. I love this whole thing of like, my mom is so mean. And the mom's just like, sorry. Whoops, I accidentally helped.
You fucking stupid bitch. Oh, I hate your fucking guts.
Whoops, I forgot to press the end button there. Can't get mad at me.
Well, and then Linda comes on screen and she seems all nice and everything. But she's obviously like a terror to Monica off camera, which is also hilarious, but also hilarious the way Monica just does not let her get away with it. She's like, no, mom, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, they actually have a very funny dynamic.
Yeah. So let's see. So Whitney and Heather go snowboarding and they talk about what happened here. I can't read my notes.
This was like, it was the final scene of the episode, which surprised me, like, because I was watching and then all of a sudden the credits started to come up. I was like, what? But they're talking about Lisa's party, and Heather's like, did you have fun? And Whitney's like, I mean, I had fun until the end. It was just crazy. Hey, are you eating snow right now? Because Heather eats snow during this whole scene, which is
was
so
that
distracting.
What she was eating? I was trying to see if that was snow, but then it wasn't crunching or anything.
She was reaching down and she kept grabbing snow to snack on. So,
oh my God. That lady really loves her snow. Do you think there's something addictive in the additives they use to clean the snow?
Well, you know, maybe it has to do with her pioneer ancestors. Like, when we were pioneers, this is what we did.
They're like, you know what really helps snow when you're cleaning up snowbanks? Corn syrup. We're going to addict everybody.
So Heather's like, so I talked to Lisa about Jack going on his mission, and she was like, you're the last person I told. And like, why didn't you want to tell me? I know more about missions than anybody here. Why was I the last to know? And Whitney's like, it seems like a sore spot for you. Like, does it bug you? Heather's like, yeah, doesn't it bother you?
And she's like, no, honestly, good for him. She goes, good for him. Hello, dummy. And she's like, yeah, because like, he's doing what he thinks is good for him. And she's like, so you don't have any feelings about that? She's like, do I have global feelings about the Mormon church? Yeah, but like, I don't think about Jack. And Whitney's like, okay. Whitney, do you not remember that your past 3 years storyline has been about being traumatized by this church? You nincompoop. Hello. Ding dong. How are you in 1 minute going to say you're so traumatized, but then the next minute be like, have fun immersing yourself in and spending your youth on the church.
Converting more people into this thing. So Heather's
yeah,
like,
and that's also Heather's point is like, yeah, you're going to be converting people, like innocent people, into this church who have no idea what they're getting into. And it's a horror show. Also, I was really glad for this scene because I totally misunderstood what Heather was getting at the first episode when she was talking about this. I was taking Heather's problem with it as being almost defensive. Like, how could Jack be Mormon if he's not really even Mormon? Like, almost being protective over the church. Like, that family's not even Mormon enough to be doing this. I don't know why they would do this. That's kind of how I was taking it. So I was glad to hear that she's like, no, this church is like a trauma center. You know, this church is like a trauma-inducing thing. And why would you be okay with him going around spreading this to innocent people?
Right. And so, yeah, she's like, I think it's just like we shouldn't be all excited about a guy who's going to be out there and sell a church that we know can be destructive and not give any details and like just sign on the dotted line. Like, that's what we do as missionaries. And I'm conflicted because, of course, I had good experiences. I learned a language. I got to see France. I was a good time girl all through the Loire Valley. You know, it was wonderful. But like, I did all these things that didn't ruin my life. But I also had to convince people that who didn't want to change their lives to join the Mormon church.
Well, yeah, but what do you expect me to do? Go knock on the door and be like, you better stop this.
And she's like, okay, but the church's history is homophobic. It doesn't acknowledge transgender people and says that that doesn't even exist. I mean, hello, racism, sexism. And she's like, this is not great. Okay. And now people know I've written this book called Bad Mormon, and they treat me like I'm an automatic enemy because I'm against the church. And now Lisa's treating me like that by not. I mean, this is where I think she starts to go, because whenever it comes to Lisa, she just, apparently Lisa does this to her too, but they're so sensitive about each other that whenever it comes to talking about each other, they just go way too far. It's like, now because I've written this book, now Lisa doesn't want to talk to me, or she automatically sees me as the enemy. Where it's like, no, she saw you as the enemy before, because like, you're literally the enemy to Lisa, you know.
I mean, look, have your feelings about the church, but like, understand that when you write a book about it and saying, you know, what sucked about the church, don't be surprised if someone who's in that church is like, I don't love this, and I don't feel comfortable expressing this joyous thing for me about the church to you, to someone who hates the church. Like, I kind of get that. I'm not a defense of the church. I just like understand why. Like, it's funny to me that Heather is surprised by Lisa's reaction.
Right.
So Whitney's like, it's interesting that you say that, because I was with Lisa and Ange the other day, and Lisa had this major reaction to hearing that Angie came over to your house.
Wait, she got mad that Angie came to my house? Is this because we made birdhouses and I said, Angie, I wish I'd been very close friends with you all along. I wish I'd never said anything bad about you. Let me remind you, you have a lot of grit and you're a wonderful person. And like, you're 10 times better than Lisa Barlow ever has been. Is that all that she's mad about?
She was hurt. And Heather's like, I'm so confused. Like, what does Lisa want? I mean, if she wanted to be my friend, why wouldn't she tell me about Jack's mission?
So now she's using it against Lisa as a point of friendship.
She was really butthurt about it. I've never seen anything like it before.
That brings us to the end of Salt Lake City.
That was, oddly enough, that was the end of the episode.
It was a weird ending, but good episode. Really funny episode. My God.
They're clearly setting up Heather and Lisa falling back into a rift after they had kind of come together over the past year or whatever. So like, this is heading in that direction. That's what that means.
Yep. All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for being with us.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas,
she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches.
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Catchit.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch Her Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.